Listen to what Billy Graham said about Christmas. Christmas is not a myth, not a tradition, not a dream. It is a glorious reality. It is the time of joy. Bethlehem's manger crib became the link that bound the lost world to a loving God. From that manger came a man who not only taught us a new way of life, but brought us into a new relationship with our Creator. Christmas means that God is interested in the affairs of people, that God loves us so much that He was willing to give us His Son. As the Christmas story is repeated year after year, friends, we see that the cast of characters associated with the story of Jesus' birth are both colorful and memorable. We recognize them by their unique speaking parts with dramatic lines. For example, the angels take center stage to announce the birth of the Savior. The archangel, Gabriel, makes an unforgettable announcement to Mary. These verses are not on the screen. In Luke 1, verse 28, Gabriel says, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Then they appear to Joseph to announce that the name of the child would be Jesus. Then the angelic choir interrupts the shepherds, saying to them in Luke 2:14, "Glory to God in the highest." Then the Virgin Mary, whose divine selection humbles her, offers her beautiful hymn of praise and thanksgiving. And in Luke 1:46-48, she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." The shepherds become the earliest evangelist. In Luke chapter 2, the shepherds rush off to find baby Jesus, and after the angels announce it. And in Luke 2 verse 15, they say, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And then finding Jesus, Luke says in Luke 2 verse 17, they said to each other, "Now when they had seen him, they made known, widely known, the sayings which was told them concerning this child." The wise men come a little later, and they are desperate in their search to find the newborn king and to present him with gifts of worship. They say in Matthew 2 verse 2, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Oddly enough, only one key figure in the birth of Jesus has no speaking part. He is the only silent member of the cast and is often forgotten, and his name is Joseph. Angels bring heavenly greetings. Mary sings a praise song. The shepherds preach. The wise men worship. But Joseph is silent. No notable lines are attributed to him. No quotes. Only silence. Many of us, while we were growing up, we participated in the Christmas story. And in the Christmas play and pageants and all that kind of stuff. And we had to memorize many lines of Mary and the shepherds and angels and the wise men and the innkeeper and even Herod. We didn't quite like it. But when I came across this story, it's a different take from a little boy who feels different about it. He said, he's talking about the annual Christmas children's Christmas program at his church. He said that being a shepherd was his favorite role because he had to carry a stick. And he said during the rehearsal hours, it took great pleasure for the shepherds to whack each other with these sticks. Nobody wanted to be Joseph, he said, because Joseph had to hang out with Mary, who was played by a girl, who had to wait backstage with this girl, who walked in with this girl. And needless to say, you felt like a total fool, which was not helped by the fact that the shepherds and the wise men were constantly suggesting that she was your girlfriend. and that you liked her. So during the program, the little boy who played Joseph tried to keep the maximum allowable distance from Mary as though she was carrying some kind of deadly bacteria. Now we, on the other hand, we little fellows there in the church running around being naughty little boys, we considered the one who played Joseph, he was the fortunate one. Why? He had no lines to learn. No speaking parts. I'm sure that Joseph was physically able to speak, and perhaps the wonderful realization that God Almighty had a word and a work and a heavenly mission for a humble, unsophisticated carpenter left Joseph speechless. However, today, friends, we will see that Joseph is a very honorable character in the Christmas story. His importance cannot be overstated. Through Joseph, God protected Mary and the unborn Jesus and preserved human life for the Savior. His life teaches us three important lessons. And in each, we realize God's promise and purpose for our lives. The first lesson we learn from Joseph's life, friends, is a lesson in righteous mercy. Righteous mercy. We are introduced to Joseph in the middle of an unwelcomed nightmare, having become engaged to a beautiful young girl in the Jewish tradition. He worked hard to establish an income to support his bride and the family that he was going to have. He was in love, this fellow. He is committed to Mary. He believed that she loved him too, until the news that his precious bride is pregnant. Heartbroken and betrayed, he wonders whether he should publicly shame her and serve her with a certificate of divorce, or should he surrender her for public stoning. Her explanation of how she became pregnant was unbelievable and did nothing to ease his emotional pain. If Joseph had to go to the high priest and the Pharisees and so on, and the Jewish authorities, and tell them about Mary's pregnancy, even if he chose not to have her stoned to death, Mary would have still been stoned to death for blasphemy. However, Joseph chooses the path of mercy. in Matthew 1 verse 18 and 19. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. I'm going to say that again. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Even before, friends, any divine explanation, Joseph chooses mercy. No malice, no explosion, no curse words. Certainly words would have been appropriate here. Words like, how can you do this to me? Words like, who is the father? What is his name? No words are recorded, only tenderness. He might be the talk of Nazareth. Friends might distance themselves from him with mocking comments, but he would not hurt Mary. No matter what he thought she had done to him, he was a just man. He was a righteous man. He was a merciful man. When he could have demanded bitter justice, he chose righteous mercy, which preserves the life of Mary and preserves the unborn Christ. This merciful carpenter will raise a merciful Savior. Friends, there are many people whom we feel have wronged us. Justice should be dealt out the way they wronged us. They deserve your cold shoulder. But today, the Lord wants us to learn a valuable lesson from Joseph, which is, when people deserve the sentence of justice, that we choose mercy instead. Choose to demonstrate mercy. I know that it's a difficult thing to do because all we want to do is get even. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. And grace is getting what you don't deserve. And so, learning from Joseph, let's extend mercy. Patience, grace, encouragement, prayer, empathy for those who have wronged us. This is God's will for our lives. The second lesson we learn from Joseph's life is the lesson of redemptive faith. The unborn plans of God are protected by faith, redemptive faith. In other words, when we trust God, we will arrive at His promise. We see this in Joseph's faith, his willingness to believe God. Joseph intended to serve a certificate of divorce, to end the engagement with Mary, and to handle this matter quietly. But he chose mercy instead. Now, the Lord is ready to let him in on the plans. Now the Lord is ready to call him to faith, to believe. And Joseph's eyes were opened to the glimpse of God's divine plan. Matthew 1 verse 20 to 23. After he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And of course, this verse is a quotation from Isaiah 7, verse 14. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. In Joseph's dream, friends, God gave Joseph a glimpse of the divine plan. Right? You are showing mercy to in the situation. Now I'm going to let you in to the divine plan that your faith may increase. Listen, because Joseph was a descendant of David and a righteous man, God gave him the unique job of raising the Messiah. God told Joseph that Mary's son would save his people from their sins. In fact, the name Jesus is a transliteration of the Hebrew name or word Yeshua, meaning the Lord is salvation, the Savior. From his name, friends, we learn Jesus' mission on earth. Jesus' mission on earth was to save his people from their sins. Jesus came to earth to redeem mankind, to save us from the penalty of our sins. But in order to redeem something, a price must be paid. Because of Joseph's faith, God reminded Joseph of his God-given identity in a dream. God's angelic messenger addressed Joseph with this unique title, Joseph, son of David. That suggests he is royal. He is of the royal descendant of the house of David. It also reminds him that he is a godly man. The only other person in the New Testament, friend, to be called the son of David is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Think about that. He has this carpenter man. God calls him the son of David. The next time, Jesus is called the son of David. Friends, do you realize that in Jesus Christ, you have a special identity? You are a child of God. Amen. Amen? Amen? You want to see a child of God? Yeah, look. You are a child of God, friends. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you anything else. You are a part of the family of God. Amen? Amen? And God knows who you are. And with that recognition, we come into the confidence that God is working through our circumstances to perfect his purpose. Secondly, friends, because of Joseph's faith, God assured him that he did not have to be afraid. Whoa, isn't that marvelous? Fear is the enemy of faith. And it steals our hope. I love that saying, fear not. Faith opened and no one was there. Third, because of Joseph's faith, God gave him direction. He is to take Mary to be his wife and to be the father of the child whom he would give the name Jesus. Finally, because of Joseph's faith, God assured him of the divine involvement, God's divine involvement, friends. Because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Friends, God's message to Joseph was a confirmation that this is God's doing. Joseph now had a different perspective. Faith is believing according to the promises of God's word. He informs our faith. As he informs our faith, our hope is strengthened, and we trust him in our circumstances. The lessons we learn from Joseph's life, friends, so far, is that he displayed righteous mercy and redemptive faith. And one more lesson that we learn from Joseph's life is ready obedience. Ready obedience. Verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Friends, obedience followed Joseph's faith. He did as he was commanded. The Bible defines faith with obedience and obedience with faith. They are two sides of the same coin. You cannot have one without the other. With faith to trust God, Joseph obeys and takes Mary to be his wife, even if it meant that he would suffer the sarcastic remarks of a child conceived prior to the wedding. He would obey in spite of the fact that this child of divine promise would be born under the cloud of adultery. He would also obey by giving the child the name Jesus, a name declaring that the God who saves, Yahweh, is salvation. This name dispelled any hesitation and fear that may have been resident in his heart. Charles Spurgeon put it this way. He said, "Truly, no name can banish fear like the name of Jesus. It is the beginning of hope and the end of despair." Jesus, Jesus, what a lovely name. Joseph hears and obeys. He is ready. He is a ready obedience. I want to conclude, friends. Joseph's role in the birth of Jesus is so important. What he did in that situation reminds me so much of what Jesus did for us. Jesus, in obedience to God, stepped in and protected us from Satan, who sought to kill and destroy us. Jesus was merciful to us when we were accused by Satan. Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame of dying for us sinners. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Friends, when our lives take a nasty turn, when our circumstances get too difficult, like Joseph must have cried out, "God, how can this be?" We cry out too. But like Joseph, we hear the still small voice of God saying, "Trust me, trust me." God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are higher than ours. We may never understand everything that God is doing this side of heaven, but God is saying, trust me, because all things will work together for good. As I said, we don't know much about Joseph. Where and when he was born, how he spent his days, what he said, when and how he died. But we know that what he did, he was supposed to do. Amen. Scriptures tell us only who he was. He was a righteous man. He was a just man. Michael Card. He's a songwriter and musician and a college professor. Wrote a song titled Joseph's Song. And to end the sermon, I want to read a few lines from this song. Listen closely, and from what you know about Joseph, friend, see if these words could have come from his heart. Lord, I know he's not my own, not of my flesh, not of my bones, still father. Let this baby be the son of my love. Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father of the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? Joseph may have thought that being righteous involved doing the proper thing. But he found out that doing the proper thing is also about being the right person. Amen. Amen. So this is what God desires for each one of us, friends. That we be the people who are known for showing mercy, faith, and obedience. Amen. Father, thank you so much for today. It's so different. We're all thinking, what's happening? But we know that you are here in all your glory. We thank you for the lessons we learned from Joseph. Joseph reminds us of ourselves, just an ordinary fellow. But Lord, what he had, we want to have that. We want to show mercy, Lord. We want to be people of faith. We want to be people who obey you, Lord. And I pray that you would help us. Bless everyone here, Lord, from the little ones to the seniors. And Lord, as we go forth from here, as we ponder about Joseph's life, and we can relate so much to him, Lord, help us to be like him. To bring you great joy in spite of our circumstance. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.